Hello and welcome everyone to the Great Womb Awakening, where women across the globe are waking up to the undeniable truth that the female body is the most powerful shamanic tool on the planet. And every woman can harness the energies of change and expansion present at this time to ground a new vision that can serve the next seven generations and beyond. Women can utilize the unprecedented power that lies within their female bodies and unleash that power to create change on a level never before seen on this planet. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and we are here today with Jules Wingfield. Jules hails from the border of England and Wales, and she was just explaining to me that she lives on a 200-acre, at the edge of a 200-acre forest, where she's the guardian of that land, and they have built a temple dedicated to awakening the womb there with the menstrual blood of women. So this feels like a real powerful place to do this summit from. With over 30 years experience supporting thousands of people to make profound shifts in their lives, Jules brings a rare wealth of experience, wisdom, and skills. Because of this, she's able to meet the wild edges of transformation, both personally and collectively. She knows the landscapes that lie on the other side of such a shift. And it sounds to me she knows those landscapes both internally and externally. She relishes working with the edges of life and is devoted to returning from exile, those places in us most of us fear to meet. She passionately believes that our own personal journeys are the most powerful gifts we bring to the world. Her teachings are guided by the natural world, along with feminine intuition and her own study, and include ancient womb teachings, conscious relationship, and sacred sexuality work. And her topic that she's going to speak with us about today is sexuality and the Great Womb Awakening. So Jules, we're so excited to have you on the call today. And I'm just going to dive right into the topic and just let you speak. Because why is it that women's sexuality and erotic connection are so key to anyone's womb awakening?
Oh, hi, Kathy. Yeah, thank you. Great question to start with. I love it. When I got the invitation to do this, be a part of this summit, I was just immediately straight away, well, we have to talk about sexuality, because right. Happening certainly in Europe, in the UK, is there's a lot happening in terms of us women connecting to our wombs more, really getting a handle now on the cycles and doing some brilliant stuff, but still not many women wanting to talk about sexuality or kind of make the connection of how our sexual energy, or we could call our erotic energy, is really at the heart, as far as I'm concerned, of this womb awakening. It's like for our womb to really fully awaken, plug in, and be kind of working at their optimum, we have to connect to our sexuality. We have to connect to our erotic nature. It's like we got to put a taproot from our womb straight into the earth. And, you know, because the earth, she's charged, she's pulsing with, she is an erotic explosion in a way. She is an expression of, you know, creative life force, you know, a pulse of love that is all about creation. It is literally, she's creating all the time, and creation, sexual energy, that is what we're talking about. So to leave sexual energy or sexuality out of what's on, you know, of what's in the pot in terms of awakening our wombs would be like, I mean, it's just not going to work. We can't fully integrate and wake up. And of course, we don't want to do that. There's there's lots of ways in which we might fear that because of what sits in the deep time ancestral lineage.
Right.
It's like for women to empowered in their sexuality and be connected to their sexuality in a way that's celebratory and deep and connected, we have literally been tortured, violated, murdered, you name it, it's happened to us. As soon as we have gone, yes, I'm a sexual woman and I celebrate this, we have been eliminated. So it makes sense when you look at the deep time lineage in us that we're not going to want to go to sexuality, because the first layer we're going to hit is the shame. Like, I don't want to feel that energy. It's not safe for me to feel that energy. When I have felt that energy and celebrated myself, I'm either called a slut or I get hurt or any number of, you know, other things happening. So, you know, it's a it feels like a dangerous exploration to go on. However, it is essential, it is needed, and the key to it is not taking that journey alone. It's like what the kind of system that we've been in for the last few thousand years has trained us as women is to separate and isolate and compete with each other. And if we're operating as individuals, then of course, starting to look at our sexuality, starting to say, well, I'm going to express my power, that is not necessarily, it's going to be nowhere near as safe to do and possibly unsafe. Unless when we're with a circle of women, or when we're supported by women in our life, when we're not like functioning as an isolated unit, then so much more is possible. Because for a woman to really open in her sexuality, she has to feel safe. That's the bottom line. You know, it's like all of this stuff that's on offer around, oh, I want to be multi-orgasmic and I want to find my tantric Shakti goddess and my, you know, all of this stuff. It's all good stuff. But what often gets missed is actually the taproot that needs to go into the earth is the one by which we feel safe. And unless woman feels safe, she simply cannot truly open and allow this erotic energy to flow. And if she can't allow her erotic energy to flow, her power is going to be compromised. Her creativity is going to be compromised. Her health even potentially is going to be compromised. It's like it just sits at the very heart of it all. And so when I saw this summit and you said, you know, come and speak, I was like, oh my God, I so want to bring the sexuality.
It's key. So if you were going to speak to a woman that had never really heard this information before, and obviously we all acknowledge, yes, the fear is there and many of us have never gone there, what would you tell her? What would be her first step?
Yeah. So the first step on this path is connecting into womb, what I call womb consciousness. And the way that we do that is really, really simple. If we're a woman who is in her, what, her menstruating years, like her cycling years, you know, the process of bleed and ovulation, it's all about coming into deeper relationship with your cycles,
right?
With your ovulatory menstrual cycle, because the cycle is the teacher. The cycle is the teacher. It is not, you know, I mean, yes, it's great to read the books and all of that stuff, but actually our body's intelligence, the wisdom and the intelligence and the kind of roadmap, if you like, to understanding who we are as sexual women is right here in our bodies already. It's right here. And so, you know, I know in a lot of the cycling work, women are beginning to understand that we're cyclical and that how nature works, like the cyclical aspect of nature and the rhythms and the cycles of life and the seasons and the days and the nights and the minutes of the day and all of that. We begin to understand as women with wombs that we are cyclical. Our sexuality is also cyclical. So what we've been trained is that you either want sex or you don't want sex. Like there's sort of some kind of on-off button. Right. And you just have to decide at different times whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it. And all of that is focused around being lovers with someone or maybe being lovers with yourself. Mm-hmm. What it doesn't include is the wider field of what I'm pointing to around sexual energy is the very fundamentals of how we bring ourselves into the world, mm-hmm. of how we self-care, of how we manage our power, of how we bring our gifts to the world, even how we parent our children, how we create art, how we tend to the land, how well we sleep. You know, all of this is linked into that. So working with our cycle, we start to get a sense of our well-being, but also we start to get a deeper knowing of how does my sexual energy actually work? And what does it feel like at different times of the month? Mm-hmm. What does it feel like in my bleed time? What does it feel like in my ovulatory time? What does it feel like in premenstrual? What does it feel like in pre-ovulation? Mm-hmm. And not only what does it feel like as in, well, how strong is it feeling, but what's the quality of it? And what do I want to do with it? Like sometimes it might be, oh, I just don't feel at all, and all I want to do is just pull my energy in, and I feel really kind of disconnected from that energy in me. Mm-hmm. And then there might be other times where it's like, wow, I really feel my sexual energy, but actually I just want to go and paint, or I want to go and sit in the forest, or I just want to eat loads of incredible food that just awakens all my senses, or, you know, I really want to just be with myself and maybe self-pleasure. I don't really want to be with someone else. Or it might be like, oh, at this time of the month, this is when I'm just like some wild wolf and I just want to tear at the flesh of someone gorgeous, you know, that kind of thing. And so at different times of the month, you know, we're really tapped into different qualities of how this energy moves through us and mm-hmm. what this energy is inviting in us in terms of how we connect with it. Mm-hmm. And this is often revelationary for women, you know, because they haven't been taught that our sexuality is cyclical and that our sexuality is so diverse mm-hmm. and so nuanced in all its different aspects and how it completely ties in with what's happening in our monthly cycle. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I think is so important, and I'm just, you know, I'm from the States and I do live in at the edge of the woods as well. However, it's just this tiny little strip. It's not 200 acres. And I know women here are so keyed into their outside world. And this practice makes them have to draw in and to really focus on themselves. And it's not something that they're used to. Do you see women that have a lot of resistance to that? And do you have anything that you tell them?
Absolutely. So you're saying they have resistance to going inward.
Well, and to, yeah, because they're going to end up receiving from themselves and really giving themselves all of the things that they've been expecting someone else on the outside of them to give. And, you know, it takes time away from all of the outside doing that they're doing. And so it requires them to create that. And, you know, I've been 30 years, I've been screaming at, it's like, please take some quiet time for yourself. Please take some quiet time for yourself. And this particular practice, because I've started to, and, you know, FYI, as far as I'm concerned, it is just now swimming across the ocean. I'm just now getting to find some of this information, and my circles of women, you know, I'm throwing it at them, but they're just now beginning to go, oh, a cycle. Even though like I said, we've been doing this for 30 years. So is there, I guess my question as a teacher and a trainer, is there a magic pill or something that you can offer that will help women receive and give themselves just that little bit of time they need to connect with their cycle?
Yeah, there's so much in there, and it's hard to sort of just bring that down to 10 minutes because I don't want to lose track of the sexuality
sure.
piece.
Yeah, we're going to pull it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But absolutely. And one of the ways that I talk about it is understanding that if we, I mean, we're really blessed. I'm really blessed here where I live because we're right in the middle of the forest and we're right in the middle of England. And the seasons of the year are very pronounced. Like they're very, very different. Winter is very different to spring, to summer, to autumn. And this cyclical nature and this wheel that we work in here, which is the Celtic wheel of life. So it's a little bit like Native American shamanism wheel. But this wheel is actually embedded in teachings from these lands. It's our, if you like, medicine wheel from our lands. And what we're blessed with here is we have such pronounced seasons. And that is such a support because if we look at nature and we look at summer, and this is everything is just totally given and all the trees are hanging heavy with their fruit and the flowers are blossoming and the food is abundant. And if we see that as like our ovulatory phase where we're just, we have the possibility to even bring life into the world, like the creative energy that's just pouring through us at that time. And then we reach winter and we look outside and it looks like everything's dead. Yes. Looks like everything's dead. There's nothing going on, but actually it's not true. Underground, anyone who's a gardener knows that the time that the trees grow the most is in the winter. That's why it's the time where you plant them. Because underground, in the time of winter, is when the seed that has fallen from the tree enters the soil, and that soil is, the very fabric of that soil is made from thousands and thousands and thousands of deaths. That's what compost is. That's what soil is. It's the composting of life. So that dying, that death that is inherent in the fabric of the soil is what that seed needs in order to birth itself into new life. So we are exactly the same. Unless we take that time to let the seed in us, like to let ourselves as seeds, if you like, or the ripe fruit, to drop and fall into the earth, because what's happening when that seed is in the earth is it's receiving nourishment. It is literally receiving nourishment of how it can then bring itself into life and the nut crack open and those new shoots come up. It's also receiving a kind of a transmission, if you like a cosmic transmission of its potential. So let's say it was an acorn, like the seed of a mighty oak. There it is underground going, I know I am a mighty oak, but I also know that right now all I need to do is receive the nutrients from the soil around me. And that unless I do that, I can never be a mighty oak.
Awesome.
And the piece that is missing for women is that we have been trained to be permanently in the spring and the summer of our ovulatory cycle, in our energetic pattern. You know, it's like, be out there producing, doing, achieving. I'm superwoman, I can do it all. I don't need to rest. I've got a million things that I can juggle all in one go. And then we wonder why we get exhausted. We wonder why we then hit menopause and have a total adrenal breakdown. We wonder why we have chronic fatigue. We wonder why all of this stuff is happening. But if you asked nature to skip autumn and winter, what would happen? Nothing.
Right.
Literally, life on earth would be over.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, as women, we've been trained to believe that we can bypass autumn and winter and simply function repeatedly in spring and summer. Wow. So the deepest spiritual practice for womb consciousness, for woman with womb, is what I call radical rest. And the practice that I teach in that is called the drop. It's something called the drop. So there's like four chambers to menstruation, but in the second chamber, this phase of surrender, what we do is we invite the women to find a way to absolutely let everything go. All of the responsibilities that you're holding in your life, being a parent, your job, and all of that. And immediately you hear women screaming, but you don't understand, I can't do that. You know, everyone relies on me, everyone depends on me. I've got small children, I can't just drop everything and go and sit in a forest somewhere and bleed into the earth. Like, you know, that you read about in all the books.
Right.
But it's not about quantity, it's about quality. So what we're pointing to here is the willingness to look at what has happened over the previous month. And where did I override myself? Where did I deny myself? Where did I say yes when I meant no? Where did I overgive? Where did I betray myself? And all of that is brought to the temple of the bleed. It's put on the altar for examination by spirit and say, hey, sister, hey, girlfriend, you know, let me help you here. Let me help you to see how you can come more in alignment with your power, more in alignment with your truth, more in alignment with your energy, so that when we come into the next ovulatory cycle, you stand more chance of being able to stay with yourself and honor yourself and make choices that really are in alignment with your truest, deepest self. So that is the important of conscious bleeding. If we don't consciously bleed, we end up in adrenal burnout. It's as simple as that. And the reason that we don't do it is because we've been taught to feel shame about being unproductive. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to feel shame about resting. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to feel shame about simply being and not doing. And to me, that is an absolute tragedy, because the feminine comes most alive when she can just sit or walk or dance or do all of these things that are frivolous mm-hmm. and not essential to life, mm-hmm. but they are fundamental. Like, beauty is fundamental to us, to be immersed in beauty, to be connected to creativity, whether that's the way we make a meal, you know, whether that's the way we dress, whether that's the way we walk, whether that's the way we dance, the way we tend the land. All of it has this possibility of being connected to this sacred. Mm-hmm. And this is where the sexuality starts to come in, because our sexuality is such a potent mirror of where we go out of alignment with ourselves. It's like right here. Hey, sister, you know, you're not looking, and the mirror is so clear.
Absolutely. Like,
I don't want to look. I want to try and get away.
Right?
But that's, it's still so there.
Beautiful. Thank you. I am forever in your debt. I will play this video for all of my classes just so they can hear someone besides me saying this, but you said it beautifully. So I want to bring us back to that sexuality piece. How does this erotic connection change as a woman grows and ages? I mean, because I know there are many of us, I spend my whole life regretting I didn't have this information 30 years ago. So it's like, what's out there for those of us that are just now finding this?
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, this needs to be brought into schools, because if we brought it into schools, we wouldn't now be backpedaling, trying to mend mm-hmm. everything that's happened. We'd be in a preventative program and an empowerment program, because when a woman, you know, traditionally indigenous cultures began her first bleed, she had her menarche ceremony, which would have been held by the menopausal women. And the reason it was held by the menopausal women is because those were women who'd cycled for 30 odd years mm-hmm. and really understood what it was to be a woman in her sexuality. So those women would be the women who would guide the maidens who were coming into this, you know, this power, because sexual energy is power. It's pure creative power, a flow of love that is infused with power and creativity. And without the guidance of the elders, without the guidance of these women, and it can't be the mother because it's too close, because right. they're trying to individuate from the mother. Mm-hmm. So without the guidance of these elders, these young women, they come into their bleeds, all the hormones are kicking off. They feel their sexual energy, and without any kind of container or guiding, what is going to happen? What are these women going to do? Right. They're either going to shut it down because it's like, whoa, this just feels like so much. I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to go out into the world and explore, which is what they should be doing at that time. That's a natural process as we come into our power. It's like, oh, what does it feel like to have this power? What is all this sexual energy in me? And what do I like and what don't I like? So this first phase is about self-discovery. Who am I as a sexual woman? Who am I as a sexual being? And how do you know if chocolate cake is your favorite unless you've tried all the other cakes on the table? Mm-hmm. You know, so then women have been kind of told, well, if you're young and you go out there and you sleep with loads of people and you're a bit of a, you know, ooh, giving it all this, you know, it's like you're a slut or you're a hussy. But actually, how else do we discover who we are without leaning into all these different places and trying all these different cakes that are on the table? Mm-hmm. But we've been shamed for that. Mm-hmm. So then we're caught in this trap of either we do it anyway, and then we have another layer of shame put on top of that because we've been out there being loose,
right?
Or we pass it all down, and then suddenly we're thrown into the world in another 10 years' time, and we're like, oh, my sexuality, I don't know what to do. You know, it's like we haven't had that guidance. So this holding from the menopausal women is absolutely key. And in the absence of that, well, we've only got to look at our modern world and what the young women are trying to navigate now in terms of what they're being told they should and shouldn't be around their sexuality. It just utterly breaks my heart. We have so many young women coming here and see them just so confused and so full of shame and conditioning and programming. So these menopausal women are guiding these younger. So can you imagine a woman, a young maiden? So it's almost like every month she goes and sits with those menopausal women and she receives the guidance, the holding. She tells the story of all the things she did that month. And, oh, no, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I did that. And the women are just like, okay, you know, that's fine. Let's just compost it all into the earth, you know, and guide her and give her the teachings while she's in this very open state. Because, of course, in the bleed time, the veil between worlds is very thin, so they can receive those teachings better and help her in how to navigate her power in the world and her sexual power, so that by the time she's maturing as a woman, she really knows how to let her sexual energy not only be in service to her own immense capacity for pleasure, but also in service of healing, of transformation, of creativity in the world. So she's doing this every month. Can you imagine? After 1 year, she's done 12 vision quests with a circle of menopausal women guiding her. I mean, she's a force to contend with, and she's only been bleeding for 1 year. So you imagine once she's bled for 5 years, and she's done over 50 vision quests with a circle of menopausal women. By the time she's bled for 10, 15 years, now she's a woman who knows what she's doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we haven't had that.
Right.
We haven't had that. And it's no surprise that we are utterly confused, totally lost, and filled with shame and terror about bringing our sexuality forwards. Because where's the container?
Right.
Where are the teeth? Where's the guidance? Where are the menopausal women holding the maidens? Mm-hmm. Where are the menopausal women who've gone through this journey? Because these teachings are only coming now.
Right.
To go, I understand about my cycle. I understand about my sexuality because I've been working with it consciously for 30 years, doing conscious bleeds and drops and all of this. Mm-hmm. I can guide you. So we have a big quest ahead of us.
Right.
We have a really big quest ahead of us.
So, you know,
and there's a call for the menopausal women to really be doing the work. And the beautiful thing about the menopause is it's the mirrored in the premenstrual phase. So it's in the autumn of her life, same as autumn of the cycle in the monthly cycle. But it's one massive 10-year premenstrual phase, which normally lasts for 7 days or five days. This is like 7 years of it. And the beauty is that she's getting one last chance to go, okay, sister, you didn't get these teachings. You haven't had the chance to bleed consciously for 30 years, but you can now. And you can do all that wants to be done and all the healing. And often what arises at that time of menopause is whatever was incomplete or hurt or traumatized in the maiden years, because there's a mirror, there's an access across. And that's why the maiden and the menopausal woman are so inherently linked together. They have a relationship because, you know, in Chinese culture, the word for menopause is second spring. So it's like she's coming back around again to, how do I lay the path for the second half of my life as a sexual woman? So in the teachings, each of the quadrants have archetypes in them. As we know, we've got the crone, the mother, and the maiden. Where is the high priestess in that model? She's missing. Why is she? When did she get taken out of the picture?
I've had a lot of people refer to that phase as the queen. You know, the queen.
The queen, the mugger. So our, in the teachings from the Celtic tradition, it's the high priestess. And the reason that it's the high priestess, and this is where most women go, really? The reason it's the high priestess is because it's pointing exactly to sexuality. But in the maiden and the mother years, the ovulatory cycle is such a powerful dominating cycle in a woman's experience that everything sort of in a kind of primal sense is geared towards her recreating family, to being creative, whether it's birthing children or birthing herself into the world or projects. And that hormonal cycle is really powerful. Once estrogen falls away, which is the accommodating cycle, so she's no longer accommodating everybody and tending to the world.
Right.
She is now tending to spirit. So now sexual energy and spiritual energy come together, because the premenstrual phase or the autumn phase of a woman's life is moving towards death. And death, of course, is holy space. Death is where we meet spirit. Death is the temple. Death is spirit. So now, in the high priestess phase, the menopausal woman, sexuality and the mystery, we could call it, or cosmic energy, start to be the lovers together. Now, when a woman is doing that in a conscious way, as a menopausal woman, can you imagine what she could do in the world in terms of healing?
Mind-boggling. It just makes me all excited inside. It's just amazing. And I can, you know, I can, just like you said with the acorn, we're at acorn stage, but I can see that coming. But in the interim, it seems like, you know, these times call for a collective healing around sexuality, and there's been a lot of wounding for the feminine and the masculine. How does each woman, you know, when she's awakening her womb, how does that contribute to the healing?
Well, this is the beauty. So the feminine principle in all of us, we all have feminine and masculine in us, or yin and yang, we could say, or dark and light, these opposing energies, if you like, these, and they're complementary. And the feminine access in all of us is relational. That is one of the qualities of the feminine. Because we are the web of life, we are embedded inherently in the web of life, and that's what our wombs are plugging us into. So by having this cyclical nature inside us, it is a direct reflection of the cyclical nature happening outside in the cosmos, in nature, in the seasons. And there's like what I like to call the red thread that weaves all our wombs together. And we don't only feel what happens in our own wombs, we feel the collective womb consciousness, what I call the wombiverse. We inherently, as women, if we've got a womb, and even if we haven't got a physical womb, we've still got that imprint. We plug into it all. So we plug into the pleasure, but we also plug into the pain. And if we look at the deep time story of woman on planet Earth for the last 5,000-6,000 years, we all know the story. right. violation, mm-hmm. rape, decimation of the feminine, etc., etc., etc. So when we start to connect to our wombs, we're not just going to be necessarily able to just go straight to the good bit. Oh, this feels really pleasurable and I'm really opening and I feel sexually empowered and I'm multi-orgasmic and all of those things we all kind of want. Ultimately,
right?
We are probably going to hit that first layer of everything that has happened to us as a woman in our life. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to feel what's in our ancestral lineage. Yeah. Because we were inside our grandmother's womb as an egg inside our mother.
Right.
So we're picking up that DNA patterning, that cosmic mm-hmm. imprint that passed mm-hmm. down through the line, but it goes way, way further back than that. Mm-hmm. And also we plug into the collective consciousness of everything that's happened to the feminine. I mean, mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle has spoken about this. He mm-hmm. said that when women are in the premenstrual phase or menopause women, they are most able to tap into the collective wounding of the feminine. Yeah. Because the veils are thin, because we're preparing for this death, this bleed, mm-hmm. we're feeling everything that's in the field because our system is just wide open to feel it all. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise then that women are saying, well, I don't want to open my womb. Okay. I don't want to open my sexual energy because I'm just going to end up being a sponge for all of that. It's overwhelming. It's too much. Mm-hmm. Pain is not something I can manage. I don't want to know. Easier right. to just shut it all down again. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On our own, it's too much. On our own, it is too much. Together as women and working with women for 30 years in groups, mm-hmm. it is not too much.
Right.
When we come together and we can really hold each other, we can then allow our bodies to almost be like a river for all of that needs to be healed. Mm-hmm. And the sisters kind of become the banks of the river, and we take it in turns to get into the river, each one of us, and let whatever needs to move through us move through us, but without it drowning us and without it becoming dammed up. Mm-hmm. But what we've been taught to do as women is to kind of be like a sponge for holding water and holding the pain, hold it, absorb it. And that's unsustainable. That will literally destroy us.
Right.
And we need to become rivers. Our bodies need to become rivers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What would you say is the most important in terms of women connecting more with their sexuality?
Say a bit more what you mean.
So as we, you know, as we bring, it's like we've said that it's important for women to connect to their cycle. It's important for women to begin to connect to their sexuality. Yeah. How do they do that? Is there another?
good question. Absolutely. So it's sort of going back to a little bit what we were exploring at the mm-hmm. beginning, mm-hmm. and it's the first layer is getting to know our cycle intimately, like really, really tracking our cycle, having mm-hmm. a cycle journal, starting to understand what happens at different times of the month. Because mm-hmm. the more we know ourselves, the better and safer choices we make for ourselves. If we mm-hmm. don't know ourselves, how do we then know how to respond to an external stimulus? Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. we're disconnected or numb or disassociated, mm-hmm. what are we using as a compass to determine what we want to connect with or what stimulus we want to receive from outside or not? Mm-hmm. What are we using? Our minds? Is that reliable?
Right. And you know, even the influence of everything else outside of us is usually what I see women use. It's like whatever they're told, you know, whatever they hear, whatever they've been swimming in.
Exactly. So the first thing is starting to connect to the cycle, which, you know, would be a whole nother hour long thing, but mm-hmm. we just say that, name that. Mm-hmm. And then the next layer is looking at the shame that we inherently carry as women around simply feeling sexual energy in our system, sexual energy in our body. And it's like, that's the layer that we hit, that usually that means we can't go any further. Mm-hmm. And the shame has a thousand million voices, and every woman's, it's going to be different. You know, I shouldn't be like this, or things that happened to me in the past that were traumatic were probably my fault. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this kind of self persecution, we've now internalized the persecution that happened externally. Mm-hmm. And we've now internalized it. Mm-hmm. So that working with the shame is really where the gold is. Mm-hmm. And to do that work, we need to come together as women. We can't do that work on our own. And it's terrifying to come together with women and say, and to let ourselves be seen in shame in any way, or to even name it, or to even admit it to ourselves, let alone another woman. Mm-hmm. Because we often feel like we're the only ones that have experienced these things, these bad things that have happened to us. And when you start to bring women together in a space and women start to open up and tell their story, it doesn't just heal that woman, it heals all the women in the circle, because you can be pretty sure that at least half the women can directly relate to her story. Mm-hmm. And probably all of the women can feel her in her story and have a level of resonance with it, because even though our stories are individual, we have all as women been in the last 6,000 years of time programming, right? You know, none of us escape that. You know, even if we might say, oh, I'm really lucky, I've never actually sort of had abuse in my life, I've never been raped, I've never had anything like that happen, which, yeah, of course, is a total blessing. But is it really true that we haven't been violated in some way? So my definition of violation is simply not being honored as, not having our bodies honored as sacred, mm-hmm. not having our bodies respected in a way of, nobody touches my body unless I give permission. Nobody takes anything from me unless it's with my deepest permission from my sovereign queen. Mm-hmm. So that kind of just then puts all of us in that camp,
right?
You know, because, and the thing is, we've normalized a state of what is, I don't think, normal. The way we are looked at, the way we are objectified, the fact that we have to think about how we dress when we walk down the road. You know, in my world of things are healed, all women could walk around naked knowing that they would be utterly protected and safe the whole time. And that no right. one would say, well, you're naked, you're asking for it. Yeah?
Right.
You know, we have to go, well, the tree was asking for it because it doesn't have any clothes on.
Right. Of course. So it's what I hear you saying is that if women, number one, if they'll just slow down, if they'll begin to go in and start to pay attention to their own womb cycle and their own moon time, and then if they in turn begin to layer in paying attention to their sexual energy level and yeah. how that falls, that's the beginning. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's a huge step if we can get enough women to begin to make that journey. And, you know, I think we've alluded to this a little bit, but, you know, the Dalai Lama said, Western women will save the world. And it sounds to me like you might add the word Western menopausal women will save the world. Why do you feel like women in menopause, and you've spoken into it a little bit, are such a force for change right now? Because that's what we need, the whole planet.
Absolutely. And it's not that younger women don't have the connection or the wisdom or the energy or anything like that, mm-hmm. but what I was saying about the hormonal cycle, so the ovulatory cycle and the body's process of reproduction, like at that kind of evolutionary level, mm-hmm. is such a dominant cycle. That for that first phase of a woman's life, of like the maiden and the mother, but coming up to all the way leading up towards menopause, mm-hmm. she is far more focused on bringing herself into the world, or bringing family into the world, or bringing creative projects in the world, or, you know, it's that kind of thing. once the hormones change and the estrogen has gone, which is the driver to nurture and to tend life and to care for life and to birth life, whatever version that looks like, once that has gone, she's not kind of, and she's in the menopause, she's not kind of pulled by all of that. Her energy isn't focused there. Mm-hmm. Her energy now is much more focused towards spirit or the mystery or something that's bigger than herself. Mm-hmm. So it's what I was saying about the sexual energy and the mystery or spirit start to become like the lovers in bed, if you like. Mm-hmm. So she has more space or more capacity to bring herself in service to the mystery rather than in service to her family or in service to herself or in service to, you know, her own unfolding. But of course, this can only happen if she hasn't been overriding herself for the last 25 years, doing right. the sacrificial kind of, I must be everything to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then the estrogen drops off and she goes, what on earth have I been doing for the last 20 years? Mm-hmm. What about me? Mm-hmm. Which is often what happens when the women hit the menopause. They have right. a massive what about me moment.
Right.
The husbands go, the mm-hmm. job goes, the kids go. It's like, right, that's it. I'm mm-hmm. done with looking after mm-hmm. and she starts to ask those deep questions. So it's a rite of passage into her power at a whole nother level, which includes this quality of her sexual energy, which is now in service to love itself. It's in service to the mystery. So if you bring that energy into the world and you start going, okay, what needs to happen in the political system? What needs to happen in the educational system? What needs to happen in the environmental shift? All of these different areas. And you put, you know, a team of menopausal women in place to look at those things. You can, you can imagine what would happen.
It will change. It will flip the world on its ear. What needs to happen.
And the thing, the menopausal women have also just got that life experience. So it's not mm-hmm. that the younger women don't have something to bring to the table. They're needed too, mm-hmm. very, very much so, because mm-hmm. they have the life force mm-hmm. and they have the just that potency and that mm-hmm. aliveness and the kind of the juice of it all. Mm-hmm. But it's a collaboration that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
It is a collaboration.
Jewels.
And
oh my goodness. This has been amazing. This has been such a blessing to have you with us. I see that you're going to, your free gift is going to be a drum journey to help women connect to their core yes. sexuality. I'm very excited about that. And I know that you waited to create it until after we did this interview so you could really get the juice of what
we never know where we're going to go in this, do we? So.
Right. But this has been one of the most amazing experiences, amazing conversations I've had. And I'm just I feel very blessed for myself and for all the women that are going to watch and hear what you've had to say. And I really encourage everyone that's on the call that watches our summit that you plug into all of our speakers, but really get on their websites and look at what they're bringing us, because this is what we've all been looking for the past 20, 30 years. And I've said several times during the summit, and it's been hiding in plain sight, right inside of us.
Yeah. We're looking out there and it's all been in here
right?
the whole time.
Right. So, Jules, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for all your wisdom. Thank you for the past 30 years that you've spent doing the work that you've been doing, because we've all needed it and we're all being blessed by it now. So thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been a pleasure. It's been just so much fun talking to you.
Sweet.